So, friends, we continue in the journey that we started last Sunday, the Advent journey. Last Sunday, we began a journey, but it's like a journey where we are not walking. It's a journey where we are not in any activity. We are not doing anything. It's a journey where we are just sitting and waiting. So the waiting began last Sunday, first Advent, with the lighting of the first candle, and today it's second Advent. We have lit the second Advent candle in waiting. Waiting for what? What are we waiting for? This morning I want to speak to you, friends, waiting for the divine help, to wait for the divine help. Help is on the way. We are waiting for help. We are in a situation where we can no longer help ourselves. We cannot do anything for ourselves. So as we wait, I want to say we are waiting for divine help. Help is on the way, is the theme that I want to share with you this morning. Help is on the way. Some few days ago, on the news, we saw of this little girl, 3-year-old girl. The 3-year-old girl is with her mom in the house. The mom is pregnant. The mom falls on the stairs. What does the little girl do? She's only 3. The little girl realizes that mom is in danger. She, as young as she is, she realizes mom is in trouble. There's danger here. There is trouble here. What does she do? The next thing to do that she knows is to dial 999. As she dials 999, on the other end of the line, the response is encouraging. Okay, don't worry. It will be fine. Mom will be okay. Help is on the way. Here is trouble. Here is danger, but at least the little girl knows what to do next. To call for help. To call for help. And on the other hand, the response is, don't worry, help is on the way. Today we want to look at a nation, the nation of Israel, as we read from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. We see a people, the nation of Israel, who, in a similar way, they have also fallen. They have also fallen, and they needed some divine help. Israel is fallen from God's divine favor. Israel is fallen from God's sight. I will repeat this because last Sunday I mentioned it, that God got to a point where he said, Israel, I no longer have any business to do with you. It's like they've been rejected. They've been cast out. So here is a nation, here is a people who have fallen out of God's favor, God's divine favor. They've fallen out. This is the time they need help to come. They don't need only help, but now they're at a point where they need divine help to come their way. For you and for me, Advent is waiting for God's plan. Waiting for God's plan of salvation. Waiting for God to do something. Waiting for God to do something. Because he is able. That is one of God's attributes. That's one of God's nature. He is able to do even the things that we less imagine. To do even the things that seem impossible. That is the God whom we worship. So as we wait, friends, we are waiting for someone who is great, someone who is able, someone who is majestic, someone who is mighty to come into our lives to do even the impossible. Ours is to wait. Waiting for divine help. Waiting for our salvation. Yes, we wait because we are assured that help is on the way. God has a plan, my friend, for you and for me. God has a plan. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, God says, I know the plan that I have for you. Plans not to harm you, plans not to destroy you, but plans to prosper you, plans to raise you up, plans to lift you up. So this is the God whom we are waiting for. In his store, God has plans for each one of us. Ours is to wait. We are waiting. So the fall of Israel, if we read Isaiah chapter 8, you see, Isaiah had warned these people. He had given them a warning in Isaiah 8 where he says, you know, because these people have rejected the quiet waters of Shiloah Brook. Shiloah Brook represents God's peace, God's quietness, God's calmness. So the prophet is saying, because these people have rejected the quiet waters of Shiloah Brook, they have rejected God's peace. In other words, listen to what is going to happen. I, the Lord, will bring the emperor of Assyria and all his forces to attack Judah. Because these people have rejected me. They have rebelled against me. They are disobedient. They listen to me no more. They worship me no more. They respect me no more. This is what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is send Assyrians to attack them and to pull them out of their homeland. And that's what happened. And when Israel was attacked, they were removed from their homeland. And since then, trouble began. Life was no longer the same. Life changed for them. Here, friends, I'm talking about a nation. I'm talking about the people who have fallen from God's favor. They have fallen. So for them, what they need is they need divine help. They need divine intervention. They need somebody to come to lift them up. Somebody to come and deliver them and redeem them. So this is the context when we're talking of Advent, waiting. A people who are in darkness. A people whose life, social life, has been changed because they are now under a new government. They are now under a new master, under the Assyrians. Life is no longer the same. Social life, their culture is compromised. Their ways of doing things is no longer the same. Because for them, Jewish people, they are very particular. They are very specific with how they conduct their business, how they live, how they behave. So I'm saying, friends, you want to understand this. Under Assyria, under the Assyrian Empire, everything is changed. Social life is changed. Obviously, the politics is changed. They are under a new master. So with all this, that's when they now begin to feel, to realize that life is no longer the same. Life is no longer the same. Even their religion, their worship is no longer the same. The Jewish people are a people of the temple. Their worship, their faith is centered in the temple in Jerusalem, which is no more. Have you ever come to a point where you experience, you realize that life is no longer the same? Things have changed. And during that time, where you can no longer do anything for yourself, it is the time that you need help. You know, maybe I'm talking to somebody who is like, well, that's not about me. But I'm also talking to somebody who needs help, if not urgent help. Amen. Yes. You need at some point to be there for you to realize, for you to understand, for you to feel like the people of Israel, where everything has turned around. Everything is no longer the same. Their politics, their social life, economic life,
religious life, everything is changed. And now they're at a point where they say to themselves, for how long is this going to be like? For how long, oh Lord? I'll talk to you about the 70 years of exile. 70 years where they are out of touch with the temple, which they have been used to. Temple was their life. Temple is the heartbeat of the Jewish life, where they would go and offer their sacrifice, where they would go and worship God, where they would go and, you know, be forgiven. But the temple is no more. And the question is, how long? How much more are we going to take this? To be under the yoke, under the bondage, under the oppression of the enemy, for how long? When are we going to be out of this? Is the question. Advent is about waiting. Waiting for help. And my theme is, help is on the way. Help is on the way. How long are we going to be like this? Without the temple, without our culture, without our those familiar things, you know, sometimes the familiar. Sometimes, you know, we are very comfortable with the familiar, our comfort zones. You want to imagine when you have been pulled out, when you have been removed out of your comfort zone. This is the situation of Israel. They've been pulled out of their comfort zone. For how long? Maybe someone is asking the same question today. For how long, oh Lord, am I going to be in this situation? I don't know about your situation. Sometimes we go through a dilemma, through dilemmas that you cannot explain to anyone. So overwhelming, so pressing hard. For how long, oh Lord, am I going to be in this situation? Sometimes it's like hell has broken loose, yeah? You've heard that talk, hell has broken loose. Have you heard that?
Yes.
Please don't be afraid. I'm not bringing hell here. We are in the house of God, yeah? We are in the house of God. There's no hell. But I'm saying sometimes you get there. Sometimes you are at that point where you say, oh Lord, this situation, I can't bear it anymore. I can't carry this anymore. I can't take this anymore. For how long am I going to be in this situation? And you want to wait for help. You want to wait for intervention. You want to wait for someone to come in and rescue you. This is the situation Israel is in. And you want to say to yourself, Lord, I need you in my life. I need your peace. I can't do anything without you. So in this state, this is where Isaiah is rising up to give this message of hope, to give the message, to deliver a message of encouragement, to say, Israel, help is on the way. They are crushed. They are shattered. They are devastated. They are in despair, hopeless as they are. Isaiah is tending to say, do not be discouraged. Help is on the way. Brother, sister, do not be discouraged. Whatever situation you go through, David says in Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes unto the hills, for my help comes from the Lord. So when you are there, crushed, you know, discouraged, hopeless, just lift up your eyes, lift up your hope, lift up your trust in faith and say to yourself, my help comes from the Lord. So this is the message that Isaiah is assuring the people of Judah to say, do not worry. Help is on the way. God will never forsake you. God will never abandon you. Why? Because God keeps his covenant. God had made a covenant with Israel.
So because of that covenant which God made with his people, he is saying, I'm going to do something for the sake of the covenant he made with David. For the sake of David, God is saying, I'm come. I'll come and rescue you. I'll come and deliver you. Here is a promise. Do not be despaired. Do not be discouraged. Help is on the way. If you followed closely, Isaiah is mentioning, he's talking of a stump. You know, it's like a tree that has been cut down. A tree that has been cut down. And what is left is only a stump. And Isaiah is saying, in that stump, which you look at, helpless and finished with no life, Isaiah is saying, God is going to, give new life in that stump. He's a God who can do even the less imagined, even the impossible. That's the God whom we worship. The royal line of David is like a tree that has been cut down. But just as new branches sprout from a stump, God is saying he's going to raise Israel into new life. Waiting. As if there's no more life, like a stump, you need to put your hope and your trust in God. New life will come up. New life will come up. You are not finished. You know, some people, you know, the problem is some people, they die even before their death. Don't die before you die, okay, my brother? Don't die before you die. Some people quickly, you know, they easily give up. Oh, I'm finished. Ah, I'm done. Don't die before you die, my brother, my sister. In that stamp. Stamp, you know a stamp, yeah? Chop the tree down. There's nothing. Just level to the ground, that stamp. I'm saying to you, you want to give yourself that hope and that trust. In the stamp, there's new life. That's what God can do. Don't despair. So let us wait for this promise. The promise that comes with the Son of God. The Son of God, who is the Prince of Peace, when he comes, he brings about restoration. When he comes about, he reconciles the world to his Father. When he comes about, he establishes a new order of peace. Our focus today is peace. Last week it was hope. Today is peace. So when Christ comes, he establishes peace in our world. The vision that Isaiah has, you know, the establishment of peace, where he's talking of the wolf and the lamb, they shall lie side by side. The leopard and the kid shall lie side by side. How about that? The calf and the lion shall be friends. What peace in the world. Peace. There's no more enmity. There's no more fighting. There's no more violence. That is the order of peace which Christ brings about. Yes, the Spirit of God can help even the worst of enemies to be friends, to be loving, and to live in harmony. And the people will wonder, hey, what's going on? What's happening? I never knew that so-and-so can still talk. That's what God can do. Peace is what Christ brings about. Finally, friends, as we wait for this peace, we need to be prepared, to prepare our hearts, which is what John the Baptist is preaching about in the wilderness. He is saying, repent, come and make yourselves right with God. Come. That's the invitation. It is a call to say, come. Don't worry about whatever you have done. Every one of us, we are all sinners. We are not perfect. We are not right. But John the Baptist said, just come as you are. Come and make yourself right with God. So that when Christ comes, we will be ready to meet him. My friend, so would you refuse this offer? Would you refuse this invitation? Come. This is the offer, and this is the invitation. Come and be ready and be prepared to meet with the Lord when he comes. Amen.